Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Lou Rapino once again. Lou Rapino showing his genius. Another goodbye song. In this case, it's Say Goodbye to the Bronx, not Say Goodbye to Hollywood, as legendary New York Yankee play-by-play man John Sterling has called it quits. His retirement immediate yesterday afternoon. He don't. Big ceremony coming up on Saturday, the day after my birthday. But thank you to John Sterling. Lou, great job today. Also worth noting that NPR has suspended their newsroom editor, Uri Berliner. You know that Uri Berliner was a guy that came out and said, hey, man, they're all lefties here. 82 people in the newsroom, 82 Democrats. Well, I guess NPR didn't like the fact that he exposed them. He works there. Now they suspended him. As far as I'm concerned, Uri Berliner, you're a hero. Talking about heroes, my dear friend Yehuda Honickman got this show to Israel. He's the guy that found Scott Beltman, got One Israel Fund to help us out. He lives in Jerusalem, and he and I were in contact all night on Saturday, all night, right up until early Sunday morning, live in Jerusalem, Yehuda Honickman. Yehuda, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Sid. How are you?
I'm well. It's actually close to evening by you. I know it's like 5 o'clock at night. You're getting ready for dinner, probably. But I got to tell you, before we get into, let me go to the specifics first. You were texting me all night Saturday. My wife and kids are in the bomb shelter. I just left. I went to pick up a friend who's an Arab a couple of blocks away. Put them in the bomb shelter. Here's some more video of some more missiles being hit. You were kind of freaked out, but for the most part, you maintained control because of your wife and kids. But describe for the audience what you saw Saturday and what you were telling me.
For sure. But, you know, before I say that, Sid, I just want to thank you. You know, a lot of people over the past months obviously have been vocal about Israel. But, you know, not many people put their money where their mouth is off air or off TV. And the second the news hit that those missiles were coming, you were one of the first people to text me and check in to say, Judah, how are you guys? How's the family? Are you guys going to be safe? So I just wanted to thank you for that and
thank you.
Tell you that I really do appreciate the support
on
and off air. But it was definitely a crazy experience. You know, my wife and I, it was just about 2 a.m. We were both in bed sleeping, windows open, enjoying the nice desert breeze out here. And we started hearing booms and sirens, and we jumped out of bed really, really quickly, grabbed my son, brought him into the bomb shelter, which is my daughter's bedroom. They both sleep in that same bedroom, which is the bomb shelter. They all woke up immediately, panicked and scared of, you know, what are you doing, Mom and Dad? Why is everyone running into our bedroom in the middle of the night? I ran back out of the bomb shelter to grab my gun and to grab my cell phone, which is when you texted me. And our neighbors came from upstairs to our home because they don't have a bomb shelter. So they came in as well. And we kind of bunkered down just hearing the booms through those very thick steel and cement walls, hearing those booms and just waiting for it to die down and calm down so we can leave the bomb shelter, hopefully in safety, hoping that it wouldn't continue.
They were really loud, too, right? I mean, you're talking about some serious metal coming into contact with each other. I mean, those booms were really loud, yes?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you saw in the videos that I sent you, Sid, like, you know, you're looking really far away. You're looking into the sky when they're being intercepted. But even in the videos, I mean, you hear it. You hear that collision. You hear that boom. Thank God nothing landed near us at all, thank God. But it was loud, and it was scary. And, you know, the biggest thing was the uncertainty.
Right. And now that it's over, it's not really over. You said something to me today, which I repeated, mind you, during a conversation with Caroline Glick this morning, because it was important. Because you know what I said first thing Sunday morning. I said this was a coordinated attack in the United States played a part in it, that there's no question whether it was through Turkey or straight through Iran. I don't know. There's no doubt that Biden and Blinken had their hands, their fingerprints all over this. And I told you that right away. But while that may or may not be the case, and if it is the case, and the United States is playing war games, which I think is the case and is horrible, for your family, it's no game. I mean, you told me just last night your daughter is still waking up in the middle of the night screaming and crying, yes?
Yeah, I mean, my eldest daughter, she's 9, came into our bed last night with nightmares. You know, she hears something, she thinks something, who knows what? You know, what's she to expect? And, you know, I'm not one to be able to point fingers and say, you know, Biden's playing war games, Blinken, this, that, Egypt, who, what, where. You know, it all makes no sense, right? It all just, it's crazy to even think about.
Is that what the people on the ground in Jerusalem, you and your friends and maybe Aaron and your brothers, have you guys been talking the last couple of days how it really didn't make any sense how, you know, we knew before what was going to happen and we showed up on the scene. We became heroes very, very quickly. Then we told Netanyahu, don't do anything. We're not going to help you. Now, all of a sudden, there may be a very limited attack, which it seems like we may be okay with. Have you guys talked about all this nonsense coming from the White House?
I mean, 1 + 1 = 2, right? None of it makes any sense. How did we know before, and then we got the news, it's landing in 12 hours, and why didn't Israel immediately just drop something back on Iran and say, F you, right? And now we're responding also days later, and even if you rewind a couple weeks, you know, we got that general, that Iranian general, who I believe was involved in planning October 7th, and Iran then just decides, you know what, we're going to wait 2 weeks after saying we're going to do it before the end of Ramadan. They just decide they're going to wait. Let's see what happens. This is Iran you're talking about. And this is Israel you're talking about. Like, these are arch enemies. And everyone's just deciding to play it nice all of a sudden and give time to the other person and wait. 1 + 1 = 2, Sid. There's got to be something going on behind the scenes. And I don't understand what. I don't understand why in that regard.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes to go. As a man that lives in Israel, and a great man, by the way, I love you. As a man that lives in Israel, would you like to see Bibi, A, go into Rafah, ASAP, and destroy the rest of Hamas? I don't believe any of these hostages are still alive. I'm sorry if Rebecca Goldberg is listening. I think they're all dead. Maybe there's 3 or 4 left. So at this point, for me, winning the war is actually more relevant than bringing home hostages, because I really do think the most of them, if not all, dead. So would you go into Rafah today if you were a Bibi and you live in Jerusalem, and also go into Iran? Would you do both?
I'll tell you my opinion very quickly. I'm a religious man, as you know, Sid. And we're right at the holiday of Passover right now. And the holiday of Passover is a time where also back in Egypt, nothing made sense. All these plagues are coming and Pharaoh doesn't listen. He does listen. He's not sure. He's playing games. This person is telling Pharaoh that. It's very clear that something similar is playing out there. And I think it's time that Bibi does what needs to happen, puts the Jewish people on the land of Israel before everything, and gets the balls, excuse me, but really gets the balls and say, Israel first, Jews first, we're going in, we're doing what we have to do, regardless of America, yeah, regardless of Jordan or Saudi or anyone, I am the prime minister of the Jewish state of Israel, the ancestral Jewish homeland, and it's game on.
Are you down on Bibi? Are you you mad at him? Do you want him out? Or are you just being a bit critical because you feel like he's folding to the United States?
I think that there's that, you know, I don't think he has a future political career. I think that once October 7th happens on your watch, I think that he's not going to be able to win another election in that regard. That being said, I think he's been a great prime minister to the state of Israel, all things considered. But like I said, he has to stop listening to the U.S. And I get it. We get a lot of support from the U.S. and we appreciate everything that we get from everyone. But if I give you lunch money, it doesn't mean you then have to do whatever I tell you later that day.
Well said. Well, go out and kill another lamb, damn it. Is that what you're doing today? You're actually killing lamb? I mean, are you nuts? Passover?
Justin, throw me under the bus. We did slaughter a lamb today in preparation for Passover. I do it every year to feed my entire family. It's a very, very special thing. And you know, it ties back to what I said before about the story of Passover, because in Egypt, what did we do before we left? We all slaughtered lambs. We brought the Korban Pesach, the ritual lamb offering. And please God, this year we'll be able to do it again in Jerusalem, on Har HaBayit, on the Temple Mount, the way it's supposed to be done.
I love you. Listen, happy Pesach. Well, the best we could do is have tuna on matzah. We can't slaughter any lambs here in Midtown Manhattan, but we'll do the best we can. I'll talk to you every day, obviously, but have a happy Pesach, and thank you so much for hopping on today. Great job.
To you as well, Sid. Happy Passover. Pesach Sameach. We'll be in touch, brother.
Best to Stewie.